This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواج أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers and we have sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The subject I have is the call to unity. And let me begin by making that statement, and I will validate it with evidence. The call to Tawheed is the call to unity. When you call people to stand on the foundation of singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to His names and attributes, acts of lordship, when it comes to His worship, actually you're calling people to unity. دعوة التوحيد هي دعوة لاجتماع الصفوف. What is the evidence for that? I want you to look at your phone and bring your Quran out and look at verse 213, Surah Al-Baqarah. If you can. 213, Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كان الناس أمة واحدة. Mankind used to be one single family. Read what Abdullah ibn Abbas and others explained why they were a single family. They said, كلهم على التوحيد. So they used to be one single family because they all were upon التوحيد. The moment that shirk was introduced into earth, that's how they divided. And consequently, the need arise for messengers and prophets to come to bring people back to what unites them again. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma has an athar. He said, بين آدم ونوح عشر قرون. Between Adam and Noah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Adam alayhi salam, 10 generations. كلهم على التوحيد. They were all upon التوحيد. How shirk, which divided people, emerged into earth. How? Waddan, Suwa'an, Yahuth, Yahuth, wa Nasra. Those five righteous people. The people loved them. They started going to their graves, visiting them, spending time there. Later on, they actually made idols of them. They actually ended up worshipping them literally because they loved them. So actually the first time of polytheism, of shirk, which emerged on the face of this earth, is the shirk when it comes to the graves. Shirk al-Qubur, which really was generated from shirk al-Mahabba, which is a very devastating type that you end up loving someone more than your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a disaster. And this is unfortunately what the Christians are falling into. You see, they love Jesus. Their love for Jesus overrides their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why they will call upon Jesus, not God, not Allah, not the Father. Because of the mahabba, because of the love. Again, I don't want to lose you here because I'm trying to convey this message in a very relaxed mood here so that you understand it. So the call to Tawheed is the call to unity. I furnish the evidence. Is the evidence convincing to you? This is the Quran, from the Quran, and the understanding of the first generation of Muslims, especially Abdullah ibn Abbas. Someone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made dua for him, Allahumma allimhu al-ta'weel. Oh Allah, teach him the interpretation of the Quran, how to interpret the Quran. So it is fair to say, unity is a harvest of Tawheed. That's why you don't have to worry about it. You see people, we gotta be united. It doesn't go this way. Unity comes when you are abun Tawheed. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Because we're not talking about the unity of the bodies here. We're talking about the unity of what? Of the hearts. You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his favor upon him in Surah Al-Anfal, he said, هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين. He is the one who aided you with his victory and with the believers, in reference to the companions. وألف بين قلوبي. And he instilled or placed affection amongst their hearts. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. If you spend the entire earth, the wealth in the entire earth, to actually bring them together, you cannot. Yeah, you may bring bodies together, and that's what the people are calling for. They are calling upon bringing bodies together. And that is what Sheikh Ibrahim Hafizullah mentioned. Yeah, calling for you, upon what? On what? Unite on what? Listen, I can unite with a non-Muslim for common cause, feeding the poor, the feeding the hungry, stop the LBG agenda in the world. I can do that with a non-Muslim, but I have to disclaim that his aqidah is not Islam. It's not compatible with my aqidah. Islam allowed them to adopt belief system different to mine, but Islam doesn't stop me from working with them. Likewise, I can work with any Muslim. Right. Name him, what is it, Yubandi, Burwi, whatever he is, I can work with him. I don't have an issue with that. But what in common causes, provided that I identify where the defect is and where the aqidah is. But if we're talking about unity to serve the deen of Allah as an ummah, the only way we're going to do this is abun tawheed. Otherwise, it's a waste of time, waste of energy. But let's move one step further here. We have a wealth of text, abundance of text, regarding enjoining abun the ummah to come together, to be united. And one of them is the verse which Fadil Sheikh Ibrahim Hafidullah went over. And the theme of your conference. And I always look at this verse. I think there are 87 Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in the Quran, if I'm not mistaken. 87, 89, I could be off to here. O ye who believe. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, when you hear that, pay attention, because something good you're being directed to do, or something that is harmful, you're not supposed to do. Allah is the one who's telling you not to do it. In my opinion, the most essential Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu is the verse that comes before the theme of your conference. What does it say? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. That verse comes, some of you may not connect it, but that's the verse that comes right before it. Don't die but as Muslims. Why? Because that's based on this, your akhirah is decided. Dying as a Muslim, at least, will give you Jannah. Not necessarily directly. Could be after a while, but at the end of the day, Jannah. But without Islam, forget it. Look, that command, wa'tasimu. So, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, one way to die as a Muslim, that you hold fast to what unites you, which is the Book of Allah. In this verse, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. We have also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that any sheep that strays from the community, the flocks, is going to be hunted by the wolves. So there is abundance of verses and sunnah which talks about unity, being together, and the virtue of that. But the question I want to ask you, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all address the lack of unity in the Ummah? That it will happen. There will be a lack of unity in the Ummah. Yes, he said he did. He said that there will be a lack of unity in the Ummah. I'll give you three instances. Let's take, for example, Hadith al-Arbaat ibn Sarin, رضي الله عنه في سنن أبي داود أبو نجيح. He said one day the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم admonished us, وعظنا. His admonition, his maw'idah, his talk was so effective that the companions who were present actually broke in tears. But Arbaat said to him, this looks like it's a farewell kind of advice, it's heartfelt. أَوْصِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Can you please advise us more? He said, if you live after me, you're going to see what? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. We're going to find a lot of differing, a lot of people going, I have left for you. Here it is. You see, the interesting thing about even in the reference to the lack of unity, the Prophet ﷺ is indicating what led to that. And also he's giving you the way to come back. He said, I left amongst you what will unite you. The Book of Allah and my Sunnah. عَضُّوا, look at this. Cling, عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا مِنْ نَوَاجِسْ. Cling to it. سُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. That's one instance. طيب, there is another instance. The verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Here it is. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Don't go head to head. But at the same context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you what will get you back together is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. The third instance is the famous one, which is Hadith al-Firaq. The Ummah will divide into 73 sets. All of them are on misguidance. And the Prophet said, Finnar. Now, we could debate, is it eternal Nar or it is temporary because they are Abun Tawheed? This is something that we can discuss. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned there is only one. Who are they, Ya Rasulullah? He used two terms, ما أنا اليوم عليه وأصحابي. The way that I and my companions are born today. And that is why Shaykh Ibrahim kept saying the Quran was Sunnah based on the understanding of the first three generations of Muslims. ما أنا اليوم عليه وأصحابي. So this is one. The second answer is الجماعة. The community. Now, here's the misconception regarding the jama'ah. A lot of people translate the jama'ah, they say the masses. No. You see, you have to pair those two. Meaning, those who follow what the Prophet and his companions understood and implemented, and they grouped to follow that. They came together to follow that. Not the numbers. Not one of the things that people use. All the Ummah is Maturidi, is Ash'ari. What are you talking about? The Rasul said, Jama'a Ummati la tajtama'a ala dalal. Look, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has a very profound statement. You know what he said? Anta al Jama'a wa law kunta wahdak. As long as you follow the Quran and the Sunnah based on the understanding of those three generations of Muslims, you are the Jama'a even if you're alone. Because that's the detector, is following the Quran and Sunnah based on the understanding of Salaf al-Ummah. That's it. Now, any people who group with that, this is al-Jama'ah. Amazingly, the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about the disunity of the Ummah and break it into 73 groups, one funny piece that I heard from one of those people who, you know, have an issue with this hadith. You know what he said? He said, that's his logical rejection of this hadith. You know, you don't normally reject hadith based on logical, you know, intellectual reasons. You know, we'll look at the matn. If the matn is sound, alhamdulillah, then we'll look at the sanad, the chain of transmitters. And this is a science. This is not something that we follow what he said. He said, you want to tell me all this ummah, there's only one group, Abun al-Haq? So you have 73, only one Abun al-Haq? Yeah. Because listen, if you're Abun al-Haq and I'm Abun al-Haq, why do we have two groups? If you're Abun al-Haq, let's say, and I'm Abun al-Haq, so we should be what? We should be one, we shouldn't be two. If we're following the same Haq, you're getting the point or no? You're looking at me like I'm coming from the moon here. You're just getting the point, right? Why are we different? طيب, you will notice the Prophet ﷺ using the Jews and the Christians, that they also divided. Why? Anyone knows why? What is the wisdom here? The Prophet ﷺ is telling you, تِلْكَ هِيَ أَقْدَارُ الْأُمَمْ. This is the Sunnah, the way of the nations before you, the people differ. So you're going to follow the same thing. It's qadr, something that is written. And I'll explain that. It's not an invitation to go and, you know, let's fulfill the qadr here. No. If you're trying and working hard to unite, but it's not working, what are you going to do? You're going to jump up and down? You're going to hang yourself in the ceiling? What are you going to do? قدر الله ما شاء فعل الله تعالى ربنا مش رايد حنعمل ايه. You're getting the point. That's how you resort to القدر here when things are not working. But I'm not going to go and compromise my belief system in order to sit with some other people who violate the teachings of Islam. I'm sorry. No. But I'm not going to do that. طيب, here's the third instance where the Prophet ﷺ revealed, explaining verse number 65, chapter Al-An'am. Look at the Quran, 665. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ. Allah is all able. أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to destroy you all collectively from a punishment, like to a punishment which will come from above you. Hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, Sahih Imam al-Bukhari, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that, he said, A'udhu biwajhik, I seek refuge in your face, O Allah, that you destroy my ummah through a collective punishment coming from above them like a thunderstorm. Allah answered his dua. I'm not going to destroy Muslims collectively. Could happen individually, some communities, but collectively, the entire ummah wiped from the face of this earth through a punishment that will come from above them. طيب. أو من تحت أرجلهم. Or a punishment from beneath them, earthquake. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أعود بوجهك. I seek refuge in your face that you destroy my ummah through an earthquake or volcanoes. Here's the third one. أو يلبسكم شيعا ويذيق بعضكم بأس بعض. Or you turn you into Shia, Shia groups. And you start what? I heard that some locals here, as soon as they heard that we were having a conference, they put a conference together. Right away, just, you know. The Prophet actually, by the way, A'udhu biwajhik. Allah said to him, no, but this one, no. This one, no. Sunnah al-Umma. You're getting it. But again, hopefully you're not deriving here that we should encourage this unity in order to fulfill that. You see, the point here, we have enough abundance of text inviting us to be united. Because unity is the way to go for the ummah. If we want to achieve something, if we want to change the course of action. You see, Islam is not a one-man show. You know, unfortunately, we're watching these Hollywood, Bollywood movies, you know, Sniper Man, Superman. We know that it's, you have that character, that guy who walks around like... Islam is not like that. No. Islam is a collective what? One man cannot do the work in Islam. A whole community has to evolve and develop for things to change. Yeah, there are individuals who are good in the ummah now, but there's nothing they can do until the community is established. But there is a call for unity, but again, unity upon what? I want to use the same line here. Upon what? I can unite with an atheist, okay, to go and feed some hungry people in Africa. No problem. I can unite with anybody. I can work with anybody for common causes, which will benefit humanity. But when it comes to the work of Allah, no, it's not going to work. طيب. In a nutshell here, obviously, the only way for us to unite, if we all go back to the Quran and the Sunnah based on the understanding of the first three generations of Muslims. Now, where are the areas of contention? Let's look into the landscape here. I choose five areas. We're inviting those people who have differences to go back and use the Quran and Sunnah and will revert to the first issue, brothers and sisters in Islam. The Muslims differ the one. Is the nature, modality of Iman. What is Iman? What is the definition of Iman? And they differed on a key issue. Whether Iman goes up and down or not. The Maturidi, the Ash'ari, the Barghouri, the Ghurghouri, all of them, Al-Khawarij, Al-Murji'a, Al-Mu'tazila, all of them, they say Iman is one thing. It doesn't go up and down. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, في اللاذكائي كتاب اللاذكائي اسمه ايه في مسبوق اللاذكائي عقيدة أهل البيت. He said to الإمام البخاري, I have met 1,000 scholars from this ummah. From this ummah. 1,000 scholars from this ummah. All of them say, الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص. Iman is statement, attestation, an action that increases and decreases. طيب الأشاعرة, they say no. الماتريدي, they say no. So how I'm going to unite with you when I cannot even agree with you on what faith is? You know what is the danger of your saying that Iman doesn't increase or decrease when it comes? That's what led to the evolution of a sect in the Ummah called the Murji'ah. Who's the Murji'ah? The Murji'ah, for him, Iman is what? Tasdeeq. That you believe in your heart. طب what about the Salah? This is compliment. Just, that's, many of them don't pray. Many of them, how many of you heard? I mean, every culture developed their own line. I mean, in my culture, you're like, والله يا عم الشيخ أنا قلبي أبيض. بس ما بصليش خمس مرات في اليوم. My heart is so white. I mean, like a cotton. That all. But I just don't pray 5 times a day. Well, that's the culture. And that's in my opinion is more damaging than the Khawarij. The Khawarij is that fear. You could stop them because they are off. But in Irja, negligence in the Ummah? Why? Because of Iman. Listen, these differences stem from principles of the deen. It's not something that we made up. The Quran and Sunnah establish that Iman increases and decreases. إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا. And this is evident. I want to tell you, I don't think you feel the same way you felt when you entered the tomb. Alhamdulillah, Shaykh Ibrahim got you up there. Wait until you get to Shaykh Uthman. Because your iman is what? How iman goes up and down? Bil amal. A companion who was washed by the angels. Alhamdulillah. He actually accused him of hypocrisy. He said, La faqa alhamdulillah, I'm a hypocrite. Why? Because when we sit in the company of Rasulullah and when he would talk to us about Jannah and Hell as if we see it. But when we go back home, it drops. The Prophet said to him, listen, this is the test. This is your test here. That's how you're tested. But that's Iman. Listen, Ash'ara, Maturidi, we want to unite with you. Can we go to the text and see? What is the modality, the reality of Iman is? Iman increases and decreases. If we agree upon this, we would love to unite with you. We would love to. طيب. Another area here, so I don't take over my time. Shia. Shia. What is the issue with the Shia? Politician. Politician. People who reject Omar, reject Uthman, reject Abu Bakr. People who curse the Sahaba. And this is even without what? Even without what? Without talking about their belief system, which the Imam, they believe their Imams are divine. They believe that no one can get to Jannah without their Imams' permission. So how am I going to unite with those? You want me to unite with those? They curse Ashab al-Nabi? People who are giving that title of Jannah? People Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in the Quran that I'm pleased with them, I'm happy with them. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Isn't that in the Quran? So you want me to go and appease them at the expense of Ashab al-Nabi? But again, I want to also tell you something. Pay attention here. Pay attention here. We're not calling them kuffar either. I don't know, some of you may not know that. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah la yukaffirun awam al-Shia. We don't call the layman Shia kafir. Why? Because we believe that he is a victim of their Ayatollah. Until we convey a message to him. Likewise, the Ash'ari and the Maturidi, a lot of them are ignorant. A lot of them don't even know what is Iman is. What are the elements of Iman, the components of Iman? They don't. That's why they need to be taught. They should learn how to go on. Tayyib, Sufi. What is the issue with the Sufi? Okay, we have an issue. Apart from the belief system, the issue of wasila. They tell you must have a wasila to Allah. And they chose that wasila, the people who are married. We tell them, yeah, we must have a wasila to Allah. There must be an intermediary between us and Allah. Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةَ. Or you believe, be conscious of Allah and seek the means to Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger identified four means to get to Allah. Not someone who's buried in the grave, who's dead, who needs my help. No. You need someone who's what? You need what? Something that you can adopt. Like what? Number one. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful name. Call upon Allah using these names. So instead of going to someone who's buried in the grave, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Is that better or Ya Rifa'i, Ya Tijani, Ya Jilani? Which is better here? Allah is asking you to call upon Him. Praise me with these names of mine. I name myself with. But your righteous deeds, employ your righteous deeds, your iman, your tawheed. Three, the dua of a living human who can deliver someone that you assume that he is a good person. Because at the end of the day, Allah knows best who's good and who's bad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar, every year in Hajj, go and look for a man, his name is Uwais al-Qarni, who's not a Sahaba. Umar, someone who's here in Glad Valley in Jannah. The Prophet said about him, if there is a Prophet after me, it will be Umar. So go and look for someone who's not even a companion to do what? Ask him to do istighfar for you. Allah knows best who's. So you ask someone you think that he's righteous. Please make dua for me. But ask him something that he can deliver. Don't go and tell him that when I have a daughter, don't do that. Because he's not in control of that. Another way is your condition, your poverty, your sickness. Like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنْزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَبِرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Or أيوب, وأيوب إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. Ya Rabbi, I'm sick, Ya Rabbi, help me, Ya Rabbi, I'm poor, Ya Rabbi. Use your condition, that's a need. But nobody said that you were the grave. I mean, there is an author out there, the year of Ramadan, there is, during the reign of Umar, there was a year of drought. No rain. And this Medina. Rasulullah is buried there. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried there. So they want to lose this car. Who made the dua? A living individual, Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet. If people who are buried in the grave has any impact, they would have come to the grave. Rasulullah. So where do you get that stuff from? Again, brothers and sisters in Islam, even if I see someone who goes to the grave to call upon the dead, I'm not going to call him a kafir. Look at this man. Look how disciplined we are. I'm not going to call him a kafir. Why? Because he may be ignorant. He may be a victim to someone who taught him that. He may be forced. He lives in a culture where people have to do that. And if you don't do that, you lose a lot of privileges. Or maybe he's forgetting. I give him doubt. Until I establish the evidence against them, then I can label them a kafir. You know what? I'm not in the business of calling people kafir. You know, if you have to do that. What else? Who else? Who's else out there that you want to unite with? They're progressive Muslims. The contemporary Mu'tazila, I call them. You know, the people who are intellect. They worship their brains. They say that, you know, that doesn't make sense, does it? تقديم العقل على النقل. They give precedence to the intellect over the revelation. How are you going to unite with someone who says, no, it's my aql. But your aql and his aql and his aql and whose aql? Which aql are we going to follow at the end of the day?
I mentioned five areas of contention between the people who follow the Quran and Sunnah based on the understanding of Salaf al-Ummah and the sects which evolved in the Muslim world who claim that they follow the Quran and Sunnah, but unfortunately their understanding is not aligned with the understanding of Salaf al-Ummah. And I happen to mention only four, and I forgot to mention the fifth area, which I'm going to attempt to do now. This area actually was number two in my list, after the area of Iman, faith, and the definition of faith, and the fact that faith goes up and down. Is the area of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a huge arena simply because many of these groups, Muslim groups, whether Sufi, whether you name them, intellectual, contemporary Mu'tazili, or Diobandi, or Ash'ari, Maturidi. That's an area, major area of contention, but they do not simply understand the names and the attributes the way of the Sahaba. Although they may claim that, but in essence, no. Just a very simple query, ask them the simple question, where is Allah? Many of them. Of course, some of them will begin by saying, you shouldn't be asking that question. I'm sorry, I can. Because for Sahih Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was informed by one of his companions, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, that he slapped one female slave that he had, he said, bring her to me. And he asked her the question, where is Allah? So we can ask that question. I'm sorry, I apologize. We can ask that question. But how to answer it is the issue. They don't want to basically submit to the Quran and Sunnah that Allah rules above the throne in a way that suits His Majesty and He's above His creation. Yes, He knows and sees everything and His Highness does not negate His nearness. Of course, the other is their interpretation, affirming, negating, is a huge mess those people have regarding the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, we're talking about knowing our Lord and being able to perceive Him the way that He wanted us to do that. We're not talking about something light, something that is symbol, that is the fundamental of the religion. Of course, one of the funny things that they bring up when the subject is brought up is they say, why would we talk about something that disunites us? don't bring the subject of the names and the attributes. You know, it's not important. Asma and Sifat is not important. I'm sorry. This goes totally against the understanding of the first three generations of Muslims. I'll give you an example. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he was told by those two individuals who came from Al-Basra, Humayd ibn Abdurrahman al-Himyari and the other friend of his, they came to complain about people who claim that they know the Quran. They actually recite the Quran, but yet they say there is no qadr. They actually negated the attribute of knowledge. You see that the entire subject of al-qadr is founded on the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Abdullah ibn Umar said to them. I disclaimed them and they should disclaim me. Another incident, Imam Malik. Someone asked him, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above the throne, Imam Malik? Look how offended he was, Imam Malik. Because he sensed that this person is trying to engage in an area that Allah did not ask him to engage in regarding his divine essence and his names and attributes. لا يعلم كيف الله إلا الله. Only Allah knows how Allah is. We believe that Allah ascends upon the throne in a way that suits His Majesty, but the modality and the reality of that, we're not to seek it. We're not to search for it. And if we happen to fail because of the insinuation of shaytan, we always resort to subhanallah. Allah is above that. كُلُّ مَا دَارَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. Whatever your intellectual capacity produces of Allah's names and attributes and its modality, is Allah above that. Always Allah above that. Well, last is Imam Ahmad. While Imam Ahmad was flogged, do you guys know why he was flogged? Because individuals wanted to cancel out, negate the attribute of speech from Allah. That is why they said the Quran is created. Because they didn't want to believe that Allah speaks. Why would an imam of this ummah get flogged, jailed, refusing to give in? For what? Because of something not important? Give me a break.
So according to unity in closing your brothers and sisters in Islam must be done properly. Otherwise wasting time, wasting energy. The core subject to the call to unity is the substance. The Quran, the Sunnah, based on the understanding of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companion. And two more generations. And we're not saying that because we feel this way. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of the Muslims is my generation. Thumma alladhina yaluna. Then those who came after them, the second best, the predecessor. Thumma alladhina yaluna. Three generations. I rest my case. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakumullahu khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.